It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Tuolumne County has a new budget year starting July 1st, and recently the Board of Supervisors approved a preliminary spending plan for the new fiscal year. It comes after some notable cuts to positions were made in the months prior. Here to give us an update on the county's finances, the new budget, its impacts, and what exactly it all funds is the acting CAO for Tuolumne County, Roger Root. Mr. Root, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
So this is our first time we've had you in the Motherlode View studio for a Motherlode View show. So for anybody who's not familiar, tell us about your background, what you did prior to this role, and kind of how you landed in Tuolumne County.
Absolutely. Well, when I got out of the military, I started almost immediately working in local government. So I've been in local government for over 27 years. Worked for the city of Davis, worked for the city of Roseville. Spent a lot of that time supporting public safety and moved here to Tuolumne County in 2019 as the IT director, the first director position that I had in the IT field. And then in 2023, I accepted a position as assistant county administrator and then became the acting county administrator in January of this year.
So being an acting CAO now, this is the first time you've been in that type of a role?
Yes, it is.
So how's the experience been?
It's had some really good times. It's had some really stressful times.
Challenging times as well,
yeah,
I imagine.
Definitely challenging.
Well, let's get into this new budget. So starting in early January, you mentioned you stepped into the acting CAO position. How would you describe kind of the fiscal challenges and the uncertainties faced back then when you first stepped into this role?
Well, I think that it became pretty obvious to the county with the tax measure failing in November that we had to make some significant changes. We knew our revenue wasn't going to increase at the pace that our expenses were increasing. And the new board definitely was looking at how we are going to be able to afford to continue moving forward. And a lot of that came with initially in January wanting to make significant cuts in the general fund. And so the direction from the board was to make 15% cuts in general fund that do not impact public safety, parks, recs, or library. And they need to be permanent cuts. So there were cuts that were going to continue on for the upcoming years. And so that was our challenge, and that's what we faced in January. It ended with, 22.5 positions were eliminated. There were layoffs, and a lot of other areas in the budget and general fund were cut as a result of this to meet the approximately $1.8 million that the board was looking for at that time.
When you mentioned public safety, when you say that, everybody knows like the sheriff's office, but when you're talking like public safety, what are kind of the other areas that includes?
Yeah, the public safety will includes the district attorney, probation, public defender, obviously fire and the sheriff's office are the biggest pieces of the public safety will.
I've heard at the Board of Supervisors meeting some talk about a hiring freeze as well. Is there a hiring freeze in effect right now?
There is still a hiring freeze in effect. It went into effect in November up until, I believe it was in March. It was in April. I took an item to the board to get some direction on the hiring freeze. And the board direction was that any request would come to myself and the HR director, and we would discuss it and decide whether or not we were going to let the position open up for recruitment or if it was going to stay frozen. And we've had several requests since then, and some have been approved and some haven't.
So it's kind of a case-by-case basis?
It is case-by-case basis right now. It does not impact public safety, and it does not impact our recreation staff that are seasonal and that kind of stuff.
So looking at the budget year that's ending on June 30th, you know, how would you kind of describe the current fiscal budget year that's ending right now?
Well, I think, as you probably saw, we have approximately a $6 million fund balance. A lot of that has to do with just projects that couldn't get completed or didn't get started. We had a lot of vacancies, as we usually do. We also saved quite a bit of money with the cuts that we made back in February. So, I mean, it ended strong, but it's definitely not where the county needs to be going forward.
So having a $6 million fund balance, what happens to that money at this point?
We have a policy where we can use half of the 10-year ongoing fund balance and use that to fund the upcoming year. So part of the money will be used to fund the budget for this upcoming year. However, the only amount that wasn't put in contingencies used on a different project was the $500,000 that was allocated for the chip seal machine for Public Works.
For anyone unfamiliar, the chip seal machine, what exactly is that?
It's a machine that can be used to not repave a road, but in a sense repave the road. And I'm sure our Public Works Director will probably give a much better description. One of our goals is to be able to do more paving and more maintenance on the road. The chip seal machine allows us to do maintenance on the road, the roads, and ourselves versus contracting out, which saves us a lot of money.
So looking ahead to the new fiscal year starting July 1st, what would you say are some of the highlights of the new spending plan?
Well, I think that probably one of the things I did want to talk about was one of the efforts that we're really trying to put in place with board direction is we need to have more collaboration between the departments and more transparency on how the budget is built. And so I think this year's budget is the first step in that direction. We have a budget team in the county that has met more frequently in this last 6 months than what they met probably in the last few years. And so I think that that's key to what's important for the budget moving forward. We also had an average of 11% cost reduction across general fund, and that included all the agencies. So even the public safety departments are looking at how they can be more efficient and operate more efficiently to provide a relief on the general fund. I think that you probably heard from the May 6th meeting, there was a lot of wish list items that came up, and I think the highlight of the actual budget is that the board decided to set most of that aside. And as I mentioned, the chip seal machine was the only one that was going to move forward. So I think that's a highlight that they were responsible with what they were going to do with the fund balance, and they decided not to spend it until later in the year if it was still going to be available.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, it was like a Big Hill Road project, economic development funding, and some other items like that were set aside for now?
That's correct. Those were the highlights. There might have been one or two other things, but there were definitely, those are the big ones.
And then how about infrastructure projects? Is there anything notable in the new budget?
Well, we're going to continue to budget the 911 dispatch center. I think that's, for me, one of the most important projects that we have going forward in the infrastructure side. We are taking kind of a pause on some of the major infrastructure or maintenance items that we have within the county. There is a need to do some work. We are going to replace the front entrance to the museum. That's a liability in the port, the front entrance and the porch area is in terrible shape. So that's one of our projects that we're really looking at. We just kicked off replacing the HVAC in the A&F building, and that money was funded for this last year, but we rolled it over to this year to continue with that project. And those are probably the biggest projects that we have going forward. But I do want to emphasize that, you know, getting the 911 dispatch moved out to Stryker and getting them in a position where they're not having to deal with outages and impacting the ability of our citizens to call 911 is one of the top priorities for this office.
And having the sheriff on recent shows too, he's brought up that dispatch center and the urgent need to get that taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a couple of years ago during a board workshop, it was brought up and I was one of the people who stood up and mentioned that it's one of the worst dispatch centers I've seen in the United States, and it's really got to be a priority for the county.
I was going to mention too some of those other projects put aside. I remember the law enforcement funding as well, and cracking down on crimes against kids and other vulnerable populations. So,
yeah,
we need to take a quick break. We're talking with Roger Root, who is the acting CAO for Tuolumne County, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're talking about the new fiscal year budget that was just passed. And Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're getting into the new fiscal year 2025-2026 preliminary budget that takes effect in Tuolumne County. It was recently approved by the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors. Getting into all the details today, we have the acting CAO for Tuolumne County, Roger Root. Mr. Root, next thing I want to ask you about, how about like cost of living salary adjustments for employees? Is that included at all with this new spending plan?
Yeah, right now there's no cost of living adjustments in the new spending plan at all.
Is that something that negotiations still continue with that issue?
Yeah, negotiations are still continuing with the bargaining groups.
How about just on the issue of kind of like looking at long-term budget challenges and uncertainties that are still out there on the horizon?
Well, I think there's a couple things you might have heard from the board on the 17th, and one of them was the use of the fund balance. I think Supervisor Holland had mentioned that we're using fund balance to fund the upcoming year. One of his goals on the board is to get to the point where we're not using fund balance. And so when we use, you know, approximately $2 million of fund balance to balance our budget for the upcoming year, that puts us in a position where we're not living within our means. So I think that's the exact same words that he used. So one of our long-term challenges is getting to the point where we're not using fund balance to balance the upcoming year's budget. As you've heard probably in many of the budget meetings that we presented to the board, our expenses continue to rise much faster than our revenue. And the expenses aren't just the contracts that we have, but it's our insurance liability. It's our the utilities continue to rise. Everything that the citizens are feeling in the community, we're also feeling in local government. We also continue to face a lot of unfunded mandates from both the state, predominantly the state. And I think that's been an issue for local government for years. And it continues to be a challenge for us. We also face a lot of state and federal funding issues that have been coming up recently. And so it changes our health and human services ability to provide some of the services in the community and the direction that they have to go. And I think federal funding really has impacted that. And we've had a lot of federal funding concerns just with the size of our county that is federal property, that is Forest Service property, that that prohibits us to be able to collect property tax in those areas. So those all impact our upcoming budget. You've probably been hearing also during the board meetings that we have this SAFER grant that has really helped with our fire services. And the SAFER grant will expire this year. And so we've got to come up with a solution to keep our fire services at a level that meets the needs of the county.
You mentioned unfunded state mandates. We also hear about unfunded liabilities at the county level. What can you tell us about that and kind of those challenges?
Well, for years, we've been addressing unfunded liabilities with PERS, our retirement system for the employees. And I think if you listen to yesterday's board meeting, you might have heard, I think it was Supervisor Kirk mentioned that our unfunded liability with PERS is actually more like $160 million. And that number is a number that's going to take us years, if not decades, to be able to fully fund it. Now, we've done some stuff to pay down some of those liabilities, but a lot of those liabilities are a result of employees who used to work for the county years ago when we had the hospital that are now getting ready to retire. And so we're paying for that today and trying to recover from those. And we've also talked a lot about deferred maintenance or just maintenance that hasn't happened in the county. A lot of our facilities are aging and we haven't had the funding to keep them up to date. We haven't had funding to do maintenance on little things. One of my pet peeves is that we have a broken window in the admin building. It's been broken for a couple of years now. It's just a window. But that's how much we've been struggling with just maintaining our facilities within the county.
How about just from an informational perspective? We hear at the meeting sometimes talking about the operational budget versus the general fund budget, and there's only so much that the county actually kind of oversees. Can you kind of explain that, you know, the differences and maybe roughly how big those two budgets are?
Yeah, I mean, the county, the general fund budget's only around $63 to $67 million. And that's just a small portion of the $200 million that's totally in the budget in different areas. And a lot of the general fund budget is the only budget that the Board of Supervisors has the flexibility to actually move the money and use the money in different ways. The other funds that are enterprise funds, they're allocated money that has to go to certain things. So when we get funds from the federal government to go to health and human services for a service they need to provide, it has to go there. When we get money from SB1 funds, the road funds, it has to go towards our roads. We can't use that to supplement work on the general fund side. So those funds are unfortunately just a small portion of the percentage is what the board has the ability to actually use and operate a majority of the services that we're providing within the county.
So for that general fund budget, I mean, what are the types of things that are included in a general fund budget that the county leaders can oversee?
All of the public safety entities are in the general fund department. All of your internal service departments, like your facility maintenance, your IT, your HR, the auditor, controllers, tax collectors, all those operational things within general government are part of that general fund. We have our community development department that is part of the general fund, and they collect a lot of fees and try to recoup as much cost as they can, but there's still a cost to general fund for those departments.
You mentioned, too, that the SAFER grant is expiring, so I'd like to dive a little bit more into that. What can you talk about what's kind of going on with long-term fire funding and the challenges the county is looking at?
Well, I think we're still working with a lot of the the construction up the 120 corridor to try to look at community development fees and what they can do to help support the fire entities up there. We're working with the Chicken Ranch and their fire station opening up and how they can help us with fire response in that area. We're working closely with Groveland Community Service District to continue housing a fire, an engine in their firehouse and support the Groveland area even more. And we'll always continue working with Cal Fire to figure out the most efficient way to provide fire service in the county and make sure we identify the most critical locations to have our engines housed. Right now, I think the Monte Vista firehouse is the busiest firehouse we have. And Jamestown, I think, is second to that. But we have critical locations that we have to keep fire services at. And so we're regularly working with fire to try to figure out what the best structures are, where we need to have fire engines at, and where they can meet their response times.
You mentioned cost of services and county government going up. I imagine fire just keeps going up and up as well.
Yeah, I think across the board, everything is going up, and fire is one of them too that continues to rise.
You mentioned some of the things that are required by the state. So things like law enforcement and fire, those aren't necessarily requirements to provide by the state?
Oh, absolutely. Law enforcement is one of the only mandated services that we have to provide.
Okay.
The sheriff's, public safety is the number one priority of local government. Public safety includes the sheriff's office, includes roads. You know, those are the areas that we focus on. Roads isn't included in public safety, but if we can't get to the places we're supposed to go, then it's critical. And I think we see that with, you saw earlier in the year, the board passed an item to allow us to put no parking areas up at Pinecrest and put fire zones. And that was to address a public safety issue that happened last summer with the crowding up at Pinecrest.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Roger Root, who is the acting CAO for Tuolumne County, giving us an overview of the new spending plan in Tuolumne County, its impacts, and all the different details. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're joined in studio today by the acting CAO for Tuolumne County, Roger Root. We're talking in depth about the 2025-2026 spending plan, the new budget that takes effect on July 1st. Mr. Root, next thing I want to ask you about, you know, reserves. That's something that county leaders are always concerned about. How are reserves looking right now?
You know, our reserves are, right now we're sitting at $5.5 million. The board has done a good job the last few years at putting money into the reserves. We have $500 that is allocated at adopted to go into reserves, which will bring us up to $6 million. Per our policy, though, we should be at about $13.7 million in our reserves. So with that said, I would say our reserves are not where they need to be, and it needs to be a focus moving forward and how we can get our reserves up to that $13 million.
You know, getting into some other topics as well, we've heard at some board meetings talking about the issues of like transparency in government. You know, what can you tell us about that and things you may be working on?
Well, I think that bringing our budget team back is a big part of that transparency. But, you know, some of the other things that and I'll give an example. You know, the sheriff had an issue with something that was going on with the budget, and we have a smaller committee that meets weekly to talk about the budget. And I just brought him in so he could lay out what his concerns were, and then we could talk about it openly. And we came up with some solutions, and those solutions will be implemented during the adopted budget to address the sheriff's concerns. And in the past, that wasn't the case. I feel like when a department head has concerns regarding their budget, that they need to be at the table to discuss it with the people who are actually putting the budget together.
How about the idea of just kind of having more updates on the county's finances throughout the year? I've heard board members mention that as well.
Yeah, we've heard repeatedly from Supervisor Kirk for months, if not years, that he would like to see more updates on the trends, the projects, you know, stats on our budget, stats on our staffing. So we're going to be presenting more frequently to the board. One of the concerns that he has brought up is our projections. Typically, a lot of our projections are off. You know, the projections are guess. So when we do projections in June and we haven't closed out our budget, we really don't know some of those real numbers until the September timeframe.
You are operating, as mentioned, with fewer staff following some cuts earlier in the year. Has there been a new focus on operational efficiency?
Absolutely. We've even had some committee meetings looking at different operations throughout the county and if they can be more efficient. We have a lot of things like our development will, which includes, you know, not just CDD, but Public Works and Fire and other departments that are impacted by that. So we've met multiple times to look at their operations. We've met with our all of our grant staff to look at how they're handling their grants and how they're operating with grants. And if we can consolidate in different areas, we're looking at our finance staffing throughout the entire organization and looking for areas where we can consolidate or where we can leverage staff in helping other departments be more efficient. And so we have, you know, I had an employee come to me in the last couple of months talking about wanting to create kind of a process improvement team where they put together a team of staff that will go out and help departments look at their processes and how they can be more efficient.
So the preliminary budget was approved. What's kind of the next step when it comes to a final budget later on?
Well, I think that on June 17th, you probably heard that a couple supervisors had mentioned they wanted us to look at moving fire and sheriff out of the general fund and put them in their own funds for various reasons. So we'll be looking at that for the adopted budget. Adopted budget, by the time we get to adopted budget in September, we'll have real numbers about our year end and we'll have better numbers on what we've collected on revenue. So we'll be able to actually have a budget that is based on real numbers versus projections. So that's the big impact of the difference between recommend it and adopt it.
Anything else related to budget specifically that I didn't ask about when it comes to planning or implementation?
Well, one of the things that we have is a finance committee. Supervisor Kirk and Supervisor Holland are on that finance committee. So we're going to have public meetings with the finance committee to talk about, you know, the county finances and talk about some of these items that really do impact our budget. And I think that's one of the things that goes back to transparency and just having a more open government process when we're building the budget.
When we talk about a finance committee, is that members of the public also involved, or is it supervisors?
Yeah, we'll have we have been meeting with supervisors internally, but we're going to have public meetings that will involve members of the public too.
So the fiscal year budget, obviously the big thing that's probably been keeping you busy over recent months. What other things are you looking at right now or working on as the acting CAO?
We have a lot of things going on. Obviously, the county is looking at trying to get out of rent and lease spaces. So I've been working with the departments that are in those spaces and trying to find new locations. We have a couple of empty buildings in the county that we want to be able to utilize. No one wants to talk about it, but the elevator is complete. So we still have some work on the historic courthouse to make that building available for staff to move into. We also have, we have a lot of other things going on. We have properties we're trying to get rid of. We're trying to look at everything that we have and if we really need to keep it. We're working with a lot of other agencies and other that to see how we can partner with them to be more efficient. We're also working on trying to figure out how we can open up the South Shore ramp at Lake Tolick. It's one of my top priorities. I've been meeting with multiple agencies throughout the state that have opened their lakes and have made it more flexible so that we can open the ramp. And that's one of my top priorities, is trying to figure out a way to get that ramp open on the South Shore for both the residents, the visitors, and for our concessionaire on that side.
Yeah, so Lake Tolick, the big concern has been the mussels, the invasive mussels. What's kind of the status quo right now at Lake Tolick?
Right now, I have two real big concerns. One is that they're allowing us to do banding, but they're only allowing us to banding through Tri-Dam. Many of the other reservoirs throughout the state that I've talked to are allowing banding from almost any reservoir, almost any boat shop, anything like that. Tri-Dam is not allowing that. The other thing is that we have a decontamination station that was installed 10 years ago on the South Shore, has never been used. There's a sign out front that says it's operated and maintained by Tri-Dam. And I want Tri-Dam to operate that decontamination center so that we can open the South Shore.
It's definitely something we'll be keeping a close eye on. Of course, that's a big impact for recreation and boaters in the region. Anything else that's keeping you busy these days?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of staffing changes. I've had to take on a lot of capital projects and other projects of that nature. You know, we're reassessing all of our homeless initiatives, and we've had dedicated meetings regarding that. So I think there's just a lot of stuff going on in county government. And, I am trying to be as involved in all the departments as I can be. I still want to assure the staff that are here that we want the best for the county, and that includes providing for our team members and trying to provide the best for our employees. And we're just in a place right now where we're really going through a lot of change, a lot of adjustments, and we've got to continue to just keep moving forward.
Yeah, you mentioned homelessness too. We have a couple minutes left before we wrap up on this weekend show. The Board of Supervisors have discussed that issue for hours and multiple meetings. Quick snapshot, you know, what is kind of the decisions that have made to this point by the board when it comes to some of those projects like Camp Justice and some of the other ones?
Well, they made a decision to keep Camp Justice open throughout the year. They are looking at how the organization of the campers on that site are arranged. It's got a lot of public support, and I think that it's really helped clean up some of the areas that the camps were at previously. So some of the other things that we're looking at, you know, you might have heard that we might have some flexibility to work with some nonprofits on some of the projects that we had, like the Miners Hotel on 108. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to move down a path where we'll have some support through nonprofits to make some of those projects continue to move forward. And I think our Health and Human Services director and staff have done a wonderful job taking on those projects after some of our staff reductions. So I really commend them for the work that they've done.
We've been talking with Roger Root, who is the acting CAO of Tuolumne County. The big focus on this weekend's show has been the new fiscal year budget taking effect on July 1st. A lot of actions were taken leading up to that new spending plan, also getting into some other projects in the county and some of the budget impacts. And acting CAO Root, it's been great having you on Motherload Views. Thanks for stopping in today.
Thank you.
And I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. Programming note, next week on Motherload Views, we're going to be talking with city officials in Sonora, a similar show looking at the current budget that's taking effect on July 1st, the impacts, and what it means for city services. So this week, we focused on Tuolumne County government. Next week, it's going to be the city of Sonora. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.